21 minutes after 7 p.m., we go straight into the world of business. Joining me on the line to give us the latest unfolding and company news and in our political economy, joined by market analyst Bandile Mathandela. Dr. Mathandela, Maskwamkela, good evening. Welcome.
Man, bulizo kutaya kunjani namhlanje?
Hey, siyazilwela man, nento yakuthi akhona kunjani kuwe?
Hayi, kuyaphileka noko. Ngale njikalanga noko,
hey
kubi.
Hey, inyane sizwe kunzima.
Zime
ngenyawo bawo. And zime ngenyawo nje zinamazinyo because
hey. Hey,
let's start there, Mnaka Mathandela. Hey, the South African Rand.
Yeah.
You know, when markets closed, and let me get this right, the South African Rand, as markets closed not so long ago, closed at around 17 Rand and 66 cents to the US dollar, down 2.71%.
Sure.
Of course, it was down much more against the pound because also we did see this was down against the US dollar after the US dollar also lost some strength today. So a full 4 percentage points down against the Great Britain pound, which closed at 21 Rand and 60 cents. I'm not sure what you make of this. A lot of the uncertainty, we're anticipating that the president would address us tonight. It seems he will address us after that meeting. What do you make of how all of this has unfolded, but more importantly, some of the things out in the rumor mill and how those are influencing the performance of the South African currency?
Yeah, I mean, I think to an extent, you sort of understand why there would be impact onto the currency, right? Particularly just around this political risk, the uncertainty that just sits around this. I mean, there has been a lot of rumors making rounds this afternoon, in fact, the entire day, you know, all the way stating from, you know, there's potentially resignations, there's even names that have been thrown to the head, you know, former interim president, in fact, as well, Khalima coming out and saying that he's not available. You know, I mean, I think the market then responds to that. I mean, I think it would be significant news to have a president resign, you know, and I suppose the market also views it as, you know, who would be coming in, what would it mean, would there be continuance or continuation in any way in some of the policies that are in place. So I mean, it's just all centered around that political risk and the uncertainty around whether or not, you know, the what would happen to the president. You know, I mean, I think for me, to an extent you understand it, but also, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, at this point we can speculate whether he would resign or not. I think there's still potentially a process to be followed, you know. And you know, was just looking at the report earlier and I found quite interesting a certain aspect of the report which stated that the panel is merely the first process, right?
Yes.
After the entire process, it's the first stage. The second stage would be then, you know, that impeachment committee, which would then, you know, it sort of investigate a bit more extensively and get representations from the public, from different individuals involved. You know, it's not going to play out merely like that. For me, I think it's going to be a process. But I think the currency definitely responding to the political risk and the uncertainty that is affiliated with potentially a president being removed.
Ish. And I guess it probably comes at an inopportune time. Because, you know, I was looking at some of the, you know, trade data that had come through from the South African receiver of revenue yesterday, seeing imports edging much higher than our export bill. You know, so effectively, when you see rand weakness in this kind of way, it has an implication. If it is to persist and endure right through to the time in December of the conference, the 55th National Conference of the ANC, and even maybe into the new year, it will have a massive implication on, you know, prices in the local economy and by extension, I guess, the unfolding cost of living crisis.
Yeah, definitely. It will have a significant impact on that, right? So with all the fluctuations with the rand, it will definitely impact, you know, the imports, the exports. We do understand as well that whenever there's vulnerability around the rand, you know, the exporters tend generally to pull their offers. So there's going to be significant impact. What we might see is then, you know, if you're not exporting or importing certain critical goods or services, or you're not able to export, it also will have certain impact on, you know, the demand and supplies of issues. So I think it will have a significant impact. And you're right to say, you know, it comes at a such opportune and critical time as well with the National Executive Conference of the ANC in 15 days' time. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how the next 2 weeks is going to play out, right? It's such a crucial time, I believe, for South Africa in terms of what will be the next significant impact on South Africa, particularly going into 2024 as well, being an election year. So, I mean, I think such a very, very interesting time in South Africa right now. And, the impact on the market, you know, we'll have to just monitor if it will be sustained up until that point. I suppose also it's going to be impacted by what the president responds and says. You know, we were expecting him to respond today. It's now been moved from what we understand. But it will also be interesting to see what he says and what stance he takes and how do we actually move forward. You know, very interesting time. I imagine there's a lot of discussions, a lot of phone calls flying around in various aspects of South Africa tonight.
Talking about, I guess, difficult times, I mean, two of the company news segments that I want us to look at tonight, I guess, have a lot to do with the debt situation in the case of Nampak. And also in the case of, Marian Roberts. And let's start with Nampak. I mean, they put out a trading statement for the year ending 30 September 2022, gave some guidance on an anticipated capital raise. Yeah. And they also came out and said, look, our numbers aren't going to look too good on headline earnings per share, but we're also going to go out to our shareholders and ask for a bit more money. We need just over 1 billion to repay lenders in order to refinance our debt. And then we probably need another 750 million in addition to that. Being, I guess, 350 million rand to upgrade a beverage can manufacturing line in South Africa. The other 150 million is to, deal with seasonal fluctuations in their working capital needs. And then the other 150 million to finance the costs of this capital raise and the refinancing costs, which can come in rather hefty there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nampak, over the last decade, we've seen there's been, you know, it's been struggling to sort of a growth, particularly on the back of the higher demand of cans. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, one of the amounts you mentioned, the 350 million, is to actually finance increasing production capabilities in that particular aspect in order to respond to this demand. But as you mentioned, you know, they've got significant debt that they need to repay by actually the end of March. Next year, it's about 1.3 billion. So they have made an announcement that they're going to their shareholders on a rights issue to raise about 2 billion. The market has also not responded quite well to this. I mean, their share from the last time I checked had taken quite a significant knock. So Nampak seemingly has a very difficult path to work. And again, it will be interesting to see if they'll be able to raise this amount of money. It will assist as well in terms of the fluctuations from a working capital perspective. But it seems like very difficult times for Nampak right now. They have to go back to the shareholders, raise the money, and continue sort of funding their turnaround and growth strategy. It's tough times, and we'll see what actually happens in terms of whether or not they're able to raise the required amount from this capital call.
You see, this is another example. It seems to me, Mdaga Matandela, of the risks and the pitfalls of raising debt capital in foreign currency.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a big part of why there's such an urgent need for them to quickly find this money in order to pay down their debt and to lower their financing costs is that, you know, they've had a 101 million rand increase in their financing costs in just this financial year alone. And add to that the high interest rate environment we find ourselves in, rising commodity prices, which might affect some of the OPEX lines and input costs. And it certainly has got this management team in a tight squeeze. Add to that hyperinflation in Zimbabwe, where they have operations, impairments in Angola, goodwill impairments in Nigeria. It's a mess.
It is. I mean, I think one of the other ones, the major ones there is that they've got a higher net foreign exchange losses, you know, about 546 million rand. I mean, I think it's a mess across board, right? They're facing significant challenges. And it's one of those where if you're sitting as management of an MPAC, everything that could potentially go wrong goes wrong. You know, you're operating in an environment where there's higher interest rates. You're operating in an environment where the rand is just, you know, not performed as is required. So, and again, that risk, I mean, it goes back to that decision of funding or financing using foreign currencies. Mm. It's really come back to bite them in this particular instance. But yeah, difficult times for NMPAC, and I can imagine the management team, you know, are looking at various ways, and there's probably extensive discussions just in terms of how to, you know, navigate these difficult times. But I mean, they've clearly determined that that rights issue is what will probably get them out at this point. I mean, I can imagine as a shareholder there right now, you're not particularly too happy about the situation.
Appetite on the part of the shareholders to raise some of this money on their behalf. I'm doing just a quick search here of who some of these shareholders are, just to get a sense. But your sense, Mdaka Matandela, of the appetite of shareholders in this kind of environment to go out and, I guess, raise more capital for this entity?
Yeah, I suppose it's always tricky, right, sitting as a shareholder, because on one, I mean, I think by how just the share price responded this today and the, just the extent in which it fell, you know, you immediately can allude, can sort of extrapolate that there's unhappiness around this. But it's also very difficult because, you know, you're sitting in a position where, to an extent, you're beginning to see the turnaround. I mean, that's what we heard in May 2022, when some of the results were coming out, double profits with increased demand. And now you're sitting, you know, do you bet on, you know, the growth strategy that has been put in place, the new management team and leadership team that has been put in place, and say, you know, let's potentially put in more? And also, what's the alternative if you don't, right? Mm. If we don't actually raise this particular capital, what's the alternative for the shareholders and for the organization as a whole? So it becomes quite difficult as a shareholder. And I think they're most likely will be able to raise this money. Whether or not it will amount to what is required, we'll have to see. Yeah. But I can imagine as a shareholder, you're sitting, reconsidering a lot. But it's a difficult position in the sense that there is a bit of glimmer of hope in terms of, you know, a turnaround, there's a higher demand, whether this will be sustained. You know, we do also understand that they've become quite a leaner business, you know, of course, complicated by the fact that they operate in about 10 different, markets across Africa. And maybe the question is going to be operationally as well, what will be done further to make sure that the organization becomes sustainable. And I suppose as a shareholder, you're sitting there asking yourself, if I'm going to invest more, you know, what are some of the, what evidence is there, or what are some of the plans in place that will ensure that operationally the organization begins to turn around, begins to reach certain profitabilities? I imagine also it's not going to be settling to, you know, the announcement that came out that their results might not be looking good when they come out. But I suppose it's going to be the plan and the business case that gets sold that then sort of pushes shareholders to say, you know, it's worth still putting in further capital into this organization and maybe navigate and sort of go through these particular waters with the hope that things begin to look up going forward.
Mm-hmm. Marion Roberts offloading their stake in the concessionaire of the Gau train and saying this is not an asset that is strategic to their operations. What do you make of this? Of course, the bulk of that money, this is the interesting part for me, the bulk of the money they want to raise here is to pay down debt whose, I guess, value around 1.35 billion is nearly exactly the same as the debt that NAMPAC wants to pay down. What's the coincidence?
No, definitely a coincidence. But very interesting, right? Again, Marion Roberts as well finds themselves in a situation where they need to pay off debt. You know, there's some significant debt, about 1.3 billion. And they've opted that in order to be able to pay off this debt, they'd rather sell their stake in what's called BBC Bombela Concession Company, which is, maybe a lot of people might know it with regards to just the work they did with the Gau train. They had that contract with the with the province, and they've been maintained. They've also have a maintenance contract for the Gautrain for about 15 years. So what some maybe might deem a good business, but they've come out. I mean, what I found interesting for me is them saying sort of strategic assets, right? And I suppose maybe this is because of the direction they've decided to take going forward. But yeah, seemingly huge interest. They have definitely got an interest from Intertoll, which is based out of Amsterdam in Netherlands. And I imagine for Intertoll just looking at, what they do, they're in that sort of motorway concessions, independent toll, motorway infrastructure design and developer. This would be an asset that would be aligned in terms of what they're doing. But yeah, interesting times, the big boys, if I can call them that, of construction in South Africa, seemingly in facing some difficult times and looking at ways in which they can let go of certain assets in order to finance their debt and get through again, some of these difficult times on their side.
Yeah, and I guess only time will tell how that one unfolds. Last one before we let you go, Mdaga Matandela. It seems there might be a big tie-up, Sanlam and Absa, set to create a 1 trillion strong entity here. What do you make of this one on the back, I guess, of some of what we've seen unfolding out in the South African market?
Yeah, interesting one. I mean, I suppose not a new one as well. And I think the update more than anything at this point is that all the suspensive conditions have been met with regard to this agreement. This is the story that came out as well a couple of months back, where we also sort of this merger where you've got Sanlam and Absa basically coming together to create an investment manager that would have assets of over one trillion, which is quite significant, right? It makes them one of the big players in that particular space. So it's come through and it's effective as of today. Basically, what will happen is we're seeing Absa exchange its investment management business, which is Absa Investments. They will then take on a stake in Sanlam Investment Holdings. So Absa, that would include Absa Asset Management, Alternative Asset Management, Absa Fund Managers, and Absa Multi Management. Again, interesting, right? And I suppose maybe it's signaling that, going forward, we might see more and more of this type of mergers, this type of coming together of various financial institutions. And for me, I think to an extent there are some good, but my mind always, goes back to that, are we going towards a position where we're creating more and more monopolies, which are generally not good for certain markets and for competition and for the end consumer. So yeah, it's going to create a very big organization, but I suppose depending on your perspective and which side you're sitting on or where you're actually sitting on, you would either be for or against some of these developments. But interesting nonetheless, significant player, 1 trillion in assets is significant portfolio.
Mdaga Matandela, we'll leave it here for tonight. Always a pleasure catching up with you. Thank you very much for your time.